And thank you very much. This is Hank Jones. You are on Hank Jones Poly Sports every Wednesday, whether you want to be part of Global Patriot Radio on Blog Talk Radio Network. A little technical glitch there. Sometimes happens if I log in too early to the show, and then next thing you know, I don't come up on the audio. Hope I'm coming up now. If I'm not, I'm going to send a little quick. There's a couple people in the chat, so I'm going to send them a quick little note here. Let's see, guys. Let's see who's here and see what they say. Hopefully it is. Anyway, it's Wednesday. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports. Every Wednesday here is part of Global Patriot Radio on Blog Talk Radio Network. So, Bigfoot hears me. Excellent. Bigfoot's here. Indy Hawk KB's here. We got some folks in the on the phones as well. Like I said, it's Wednesday, April 21st, 2021. Every day on Patriot Radio, you got a great show. Mondays, you got Vito, the Vito Esposito Show, featuring Big Al with the mantra of Mamma Mia, No Sharia. Tuesdays, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. Wednesdays, it's me. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Every Friday, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday, a.k.a. Islam in Focus. Saturday nights, Minister Uzama Dokduk and the beautiful Christy with Revealing the Truth About Islam. And every Sunday, Eric is back for Real Interfaith Dialogue. And for that one, folks, you must add the app. It's not one of those deals where you can just go in and get nasty like some people try to do. I've never actually blocked someone in the chat feature, by the way. Vito and Al have. I don't because, okay, I'm going to admit it. I don't know how. And frankly, I don't care. I mean, I'll delete your comments if they're nasty or if they're mean or whatever. But hey, we encourage people to get here. Call in and listen, get in the chat room, say stuff, whatever. If you want to listen in, you can always come to the website, of course. You can also call 319-527-6706. You can listen that way. If you want to talk, hit the 1 on your phone. And guess what? I'll get a little icon that says, hey, someone wants to talk. Hey, also in the house, Mrs. Hank announcing her presence with authority. She is here next to the studio, so to speak. As she is every Wednesday, very supportive. Oh, she laughed at that. I thought she was very supportive, but anyway. She sent Hank a text message 3 hours ago and he never replied. Do adults ever reply to texts? I don't. I mean, kids don't take phone calls. Adults don't do text. I don't know. Hey, we had some, let's get some late, I don't want to say late breaking, but some news in the obituary world, if you will. Last Thursday, Leroy Keyes passed away. Now, a lot of people don't know who he is. He's a Hall of Fame football player, played in the NFL. He was actually a two-way player in college and at the beginning of his pro career. Then he went strictly to defensive back. But he played at Purdue on their Rose Bowl winning team after the 1967 season, I believe it was. He was the runner-up to O.J. Simpson in the 1968 Heisman Trophy balloting. So, yeah, pretty formidable player, great player, and 74 years old, cancer and congestive heart failure. So, you know, a sad loss, but, you know, we're grateful for what we have and for the lives we get, right? This next one, Mitchell. Now, he was a rock and roller. Anybody in the chat room know who I'm talking about? Mike Mitchell? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Okay. Here you go. Here you go. Yeah, Mike Mitchell was with the Kingsmen. They did that song Louie Louie, made famous, of course, by the movie Animal House. Was actually investigated by the FBI for potentially dirty lyrics. Yeah, you imagine now? I mean, Cardi B, where are we? Where are you when we need you, as they say? Yeah, he was. That song was investigated for dirty lyrics. So that was Mike Mitchell, age 77, of the Kingsmen. Helen McCrory, age 52, of cancer. She was a mother of Draco Malfoy on Harry Potter. I remember Harry Potter, a couple of the movies. I don't remember Draco Malfoy having a mother. She's also married in real life to Damian Lewis, Alyssa Brody on Homeland. I don't know. She does. I mean, you look at pictures. She doesn't look like someone that he would be married to. You'd expect that he'd be married to someone that looks like Kerry Matheson. But Barry Mason passed away. He wrote Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes. And he also wrote Delilah, Tom Jones' song, and The Last Waltz for the band. Nelson Haggerty, basketball coach. He was most recently an assistant at North Texas. He was age 47 in a car accident last week. North Texas, they number 13 North Texas beat number 4 Purdue in the round of 64 in March Madness this year. So do remember, for those that pay attention, Jim Stump passed away. He was 70, kidney failure. Now, for a long time, people thought that Meatloaf was Jim Steinman, that Jim Steinman was his real name. Not so. He wrote a lot of his songs. He also wrote Total Eclipse of the Heart for Bonnie Tyler. He wrote All Coming Back to Me Now for Celine Dion. Yikes. Prolific songwriter. And then former Vice President Walter Mondale passed away Monday at age 93. Despite the fact that I forgot he once was actually a vice president, the left is saying he rewrote the book on being VP. He totally rewrote The Office. Really? The best parody of him was on Not Necessarily the News. It was a montage of him saying 4 different things about taking PAC money. And then they did it into a baseball diamond and said, vote Walter Mondale and cover all the bases. Yeah, he was that kind. He lost his daughter, Eleanor, in 2011. She was sort of a media personality. His wife, Joan, in 2014. Now, to his credit, he was one of the key people in getting more upfront info from NASA. Remember after the Apollo 1 training accident that resulted in the deaths of Gus Grissom and Ed White and Roger Chaffee in 1967? He was one of those that said, were there no reports? Because it had come out that there was a report, but nobody was saying anything. And he said, was there a report or not? And he pushed for it. So, you know, kudos on that. Not much else that I would give him kudos for, but for that, hey, why not? He was, up until his death, he was the oldest living former vice president and has by far the longest living retirement from that office. Whatever. Yesterday we lost Tempest Storm at the age of 93. She was also known as the Queen of Exotic Dancers. She performed burlesque shows, dances, up until 1995 at the age of 67. And then she also did occasional stints for special occasions, such as 1999 when she stripped at San Francisco's O'Farrell Theater to mark its 30th year anniversary. She actually performed annually at the Burlesque Hall of Fame pageant events through 2010. She passed away at 93. So, you know, Mrs. Hank wants to know how that's sports and politics. It's very political, honey. Finally, in light of all that's gone in the Twin Shitty, as I call it, the Twin Cities, but I call it the Twin Shitty, today is the 5th anniversary of the death of Prince. Rocker, singer, guitarist, actor, producer. Yeah, Prince. He's a weird dude. He was very talented. Ultimately, you kind of got to believe all that pressure along with the pain pills. Supposedly, he took them because of all his jumping and dancing around and stuff. I was shocked to find out he was only 5'3". 5'3" tall. Anyway, I loved a lot of his guitar playing. Some great songs, even a good movie. Any films after Purple Rain? No. They're not mandatory viewing at all, but Purple Rain is. It's a good movie. Okay, let's get to politics. Okay, I get that Dr. Fauci is actually a doctor. I get that. I get that he knows a lot about a public health emergency. I'll tell you what else. The dude has an ego that makes John Gotti look like some humble monk, a Christian monk, Catholic, Buddhist, whatever, compared to anyone else in history. Fauci's ego is damn near off the damn charts. So here's his latest. This is what he said the other day in an interview. Gun violence is a public health issue. Now, before any of you start with the, well, Hank, there's been a lot of shootings recently. We've had these shootings for a while. Guess what's different, though? The big media division of Big Left is covering any and all shootings right now, 24/7, 365. But as we found out, and I'll discuss it a little bit, even that comes with a caveat, because they don't give heavy coverage to shootings that are not done by white people, or especially where they're done by non-whites, and whites are primary victims. I just was on CNN. No, I didn't watch it. Saw the headlines, and I said, what is this guy saying? He was asked by Dana Bash if the recent shootings indicate a public health emergency. He responded with this. As a public health person, I think you can't run away from that. I mean, in this last month, it's just been horrifying. How can you say that's not a public health issue? Now, on the other hand, La Dopey Nostra called it an epidemic and an embarrassment before front boss Biden announced 6 gun-related executive orders recently. Last month, after a shooting in Boulder, Colorado, third-termer-in-chief Barack Obama, who, by the way, called most of the shootings on his watch workplace violence or just hate crimes. Anyway, he said the U.S. can't rely on a once-in-a-century pandemic to curb gun violence. Yeah, that's right. In 2020, we saw fewer mass shootings, the lowest in almost a decade. But even then, you know what? Guess who Big Left is paying the credit? Yeah, COVID-19. No mention of who was president. No mention as well of the other causes of death that somehow went down, like cancer, heart disease, et cetera, flu. Shootings were the lowest in over a decade. But, of course, the credit goes to COVID-19, not to police, not to President Trump, not even to responsible gun owners. No, it was the lockdowns. In other words, folks, they still want you locked down. Now, the only difference, they're just openly wanting to take your guns, too. Hear this. The past month or so, mass shootings have resulted in 40 deaths. 40. No, that's never good. I'm not saying it's good. But let's put it in perspective. If tomorrow's COVID-19 deaths were 40, La Dopey Nostra would be having a bronze statue installed. If tomorrow we only had 40 deaths from auto accidents, we'd have to ask ourselves, what happened? Did they all die of COVID-19? I mean, literally. Look, I'm not advocating gun violence. I'm not advocating unlawful use of guns or irresponsible use of guns. What I am advocating is actual, real numbers from big media. I'm advocating for honest perspective. I'm also advocating for blowing down this frigging smokescreen, which is being used to justify Dopey Joe's recent gun-grabbing executive orders, or rather, his 6 recent gun-grabbing executive orders. Look, I'm just asking for a little truth in the media and maybe a little investigation into why it never fails that we see mass shootings whenever they're under certain scenarios. When there is gun-grabbing legislation on the horizon, we see a couple mass shootings. When there are gun-grabbing executive orders that have suddenly been released, we see a mass shooting or two. It's amazing. They're almost perfectly synchronized. So I think about it. Okay, is Dr. Fauci that hard up for publicity? Is he that much of a pawn of Big Left that he can't just say, folks, this is really a crime issue. It's a law and order issue. Third-termer-in-chief Obama even pretended to humble himself when he was asked about abortion. He said, that's above my pay grade. Now, look, notwithstanding the fact that basic governance, competent leadership, and doing the job without corrupting half the country was also above his pay grade. But, man, Fauci can't even leave it alone enough to say something as benign as, boy, it's tough to see, or something as half-assed as we truly feel for the victims and families and communities where this has happened. I mean, is it not even occurring to him or to anyone that COVID-19 in the form of lockdowns, mandates, business closures, business losses, job losses, rioting, looting, illegal immigration, and general pandering is pushing normal, sane, hardworking people over the edge? If COVID is going to get credit for the decrease, then by the looks of things, COVID is probably here. What's not getting up for these upward surges. Basically, at some point, we the people need to step up at the local and the state level and tell our elected leaders to be accountable, and then tell them to tell Washington to be accountable. That simple. Take some time to recognize those in the chat room. Bigfoot is here. Bigfoot's a regular over on Vito and Al's show. A lot of good stuff to say. I believe he's got a blog, Bigfoot's Place. I don't know if it's at blogspot.com. I mean, if you Google it, you'll find it, Bigfoot's Place. It probably, if it takes you to a Sasquatch website, what the heck? I believe in Sasquatch anyway, so it's you know, you don't lose in that case. But look for Bigfoot's Place. I think it's on blogspot.com. Indy Hawk KB and T. Bodie are both here, former compadres or running mates of Hank back in our Hawkeye days. Got a lot of folks on the phones. I recognize it's on Blogspot. Thank you, Bigfoot. Bigfoot's Place on Blogspot. Got a lot of folks on the phones. I see. I recognize Sue from New Mexico's here. Got a couple folks from the Brother Tommy, I think, and Mrs. Brother Tommy, maybe. T. Bodie's got his phone on, too, a big sister. Hawkeye Mike, in fact, Hawkeye Mike's chiming in right now. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, Hank, how's it going?
Good. How you doing? What's up, man?
Well, I just, you know, I won't take a lot of your time. I just wanted to chime in for a minute and see what your take is on the Iowa basketball program, particularly in light of C.J. Frederick transferring or entering the transfer portal. You're breaking up on me.
Oh, sorry. In spite of the fact that it's supposedly blinds,
85 minutes. Sorry, Hank. You're breaking up on me.
It was talked about
on
Hawkeye forums and stuff for the last couple months.
Hank, I'm losing you. You went down. I can't. You're breaking up on me.
Blame that on Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully these folks are hearing me now. Says I'm back in. Let's see. Okay, it says T. Bodie says I am being heard. That is good. Okay, yeah, it was getting dead silence on the air. I don't know what happened. Mrs. Hank was having issues with her internet as well, so. Anyway, yeah, Hawkeye Mike was asking about C.J. Frederick, Hawkeye player that left. We are going to talk about it a little bit later on. If Mike calls back in, I'll ask him to hold off until then, or if he's listening. But anyway, T-Bodie saying CW2 has started. I'm not sure what that is. But anyway, so, okay, as I said, talking about the gun violence, we the people need to step up at the local and state level. It's simple as that. Tell our elected leaders, hold Washington accountable. Simple as that. Now, T. Bodie says Civil War II. Talk about that a little bit. Going to get to that. I think we're getting there. I really do. Let's talk about the recent police shooting in Portland last week, I think it was, which resulted in resulted in rioting, looting, smashed windows, and fires after police shot a man who apparently had a gun and was said by witnesses to be, quote, in an apparent mental health crisis. Now, look, all the activity started less than 2 hours after the shooting. Included among those rioting were those dressed in all black, carrying helmets, goggles, gas masks. Yeah. This was random, you think? Totally random.
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't random. They say that, but no, it was very well orchestrated. This stuff that we're seeing is very well orchestrated. So, look, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, who is a weak-kneed slack-jawed moron if ever one existed, he decried, quote, that segment of violent agitators who detract from the message of police accountability and should be subject to more severe punishment. Mayor Ted, you and your city have gone through multiple stretches, including one of over 100 days of rioting, looting, window smashing, and arson. And it's not just, it's been the past couple of years, past several years. Suddenly, this is a segment of violent agitators? Really? Dude, your whole friggin' city is a, quote, segment of violent agitators. Look, Mayor Ted, just leave that place to the arsonists. I'll tell you what, you know what the best part of this story is? The police, in this instance, it said they were responding to a call in, quote, a leafy residential neighborhood. Now, look, I give kudos to that city of burning ash for still having a, quote, leafy residential neighborhood. Look, I've never been to Portland. I can be pretty much assured it's a dump. Sure, Oregon makes some good wine. They have some good cheeses, some good beers. But Portland, no thanks. I will take my chances in Mogadishu, Minnesota. Thank you. Yeah, we're coming off yesterday's verdict in the trial of Derek Chauvin, former Twin Shitty police officer, facing three counts in the death of George Floyd. He was found guilty on all three counts, i.e. Second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole analyzing each charge or whether the jury was right. Why? Because there are several incidents before the jury reached its verdict that are, at best, deeply troubling. But at worst, it's flat-out jury intimidation, manipulation. And as the judge in the trial noted, it opens the chance for appeal more because of what was done and said. And we'll get to that later. Now, look, suffice it to say this. No rioting took place widespread. You could bet that was orchestrated just as much as when the riots were occurring. I'll tell you what, it is sad all around. Look, no doubt the jurors would have been doxxed. We would have heard every name, every address. Little doubt that efforts will be undertaken to influence the sentencing phase. No doubt about it. And frankly, I'm not all that upset with the verdict. I saw the footage. I heard and read about the alternate angle of footage. I heard and read about some of the testimony. Look, I think the $27 million civil settlement is ridiculous. And even George Floyd's brother said that money won't bring him back. You know, it used to be a settlement like that was based on, you know, earnings potential, et cetera. Yeah, that wasn't happening with George Floyd. He wasn't earning $27 million in five lifetimes. In the grand scheme of things, you can't ignore the fact Derek Chauvin was at least partially responsible. Now, you can't ignore the fact that George Floyd, as well as others who died in confrontations with police, did not do their best or fullest to cooperate with police. No doubt. I mean, that's all rational, all viable, all inarguable. Don't resist arrest, it's very likely they won't get shot or get knelt on. But in the case of Derek Chauvin, I'm sorry. I've seen the footage. You can't kneel on a guy like that. You can't. In D.C., the medical examiner there says that Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick suffered two strokes and died of natural causes after the January 6th incursion of the U.S. Capitol building. Look, while the events of January 6th may have exacerbated his condition, the ruling pretty much rules out any and all homicide charges. Oh, meanwhile, there will also be no charges filed in the death of Ashley Babbitt. She was the young woman, Trump supporter, who was killed by a gunshot in that same January 6th event. Some folks are up in arms. Let's remember, these were cops doing their jobs. Yes, they let folks in. Yes, they acted too late in preventing things from getting out of hand. But in the end, like George Floyd, like Dante Wright, and others, if Ashley Babbitt doesn't go inside the Capitol, she avoids and she prevents getting shot. So, look, we can go down the tinfoil hat trail for those that say her shooting was a cover-up or that she was a plant or whatever. But in the end, she was inside a building where she didn't belong at a minimum. And she was more than a mere spectator from the sound of things. The whole thing is sad. Look, it's sad. She certainly didn't travel to Washington, D.C. for the purpose of martyring herself. And we've seen no post-mortem indicators of that. And believe me, if there were, we'd have seen them. And we'd have heard them 24-7. Especially if it would have gotten President Trump convicted in the second sham impeachment. Yeah, in this case, you know what? Maybe we do what Sheriff Tate told Atticus Finch to do in To Kill a Mockingbird. Let the dead bury the dead. As simple as that. I mean, you know, charges probably shouldn't be filed. Also in D.C., two teenage girls that were charged with attacking an Uber Eats driver have reached a plea deal with D.C. prosecutors. The two teens, they were 13 and 15. They attempted to carjack the car of a 56-year-old Pakistani who, as an Uber Eats driver, depended on the car for his livelihood. They took the car with him in it or on it, and they ended up flipping it. The driver died of his injuries. While he was laying there dying, the teens were more worried about their phones. Along with those that responded to the scene, initially they ignored the driver who died from his injuries. The plea deal ensures they will not be held past the age of 21, and they will not spend one day in any prison facility. These teens murdered a man. They're not going to any prison facility. They are free at the age of 21. Am I freaking nuts, or is this disgusting? Or what? I mean, help me out. A slap on the wrist? Probably no felony record of any kind. Yeah, but we got to figure that within 8 and 6 years, respectively, these two teens will be rehabilitated. Are you kidding me? Look, if these girls were white, does anyone think they get the same quote-unquote penalty? If it was a 15-year-old white male, would the whole of Big Left calling for a no-trial hanging? What the hell is wrong here? How do we have two teens carjacking an Uber Eats driver, resulting in his death, and there is no prison time, and they are free and clear at 21? What in the hell? How does that happen? A man died because they wanted to carjack his car. He was trying to make a living doing Uber Eats because of these. I mean, I can't even imagine. Well, there's no adjective I can use for these two. Irony popped up in the Supreme Court this week. La Dopey Nostra, via the Department of Justice, is asking the Supreme Court to uphold a felon in possession rule in the event convicted felons post-prison should ever be allowed to own firearms, and that even if not advised of their prohibition, they should still be held to a standard of crime that didn't exist at the time they were convicted. Anybody see the irony here? Anyone at all? Bueller? Okay, here goes. In the last election cycle, many felons were, within the past couple of years, restored their voting rights. Now look, never mind that as felons, they sort of forfeited certain rights. That's what a felony does. In several states, though, the people spoke. They voted to allow felons, upon completion of their sentences and any financial remuneration, to be allowed certain voting rights. Funny, huh? Not really. Because it seems some crimes are not forgivable, and thus certain felons do not get their voting rights back. So be it. But does it occur to anyone that convicted felons never have, at least without serious cash money in the form of legal proceedings, they've never been allowed to regain their Second Amendment rights, it seems. Again, to me, the Bill of Rights is sacrosanct. Restore the right to vote, but not the Second Amendment right? That's clearly targeted. That's clearly aimed. And we saw it when Bloomberg was offering to pay up the fines of any felon in order to restore voting rights in Florida. Wonder if he would have given that money if he knew that they would also have their Second Amendment rights restored. I wonder if he would have paid that bribe money for that. You think? Yeah, probably not. Officer-involved shootings. Yesterday in Columbus, Ohio, a shooting was shown via video by the Columbus Police Department. It clearly shows a 16-year-old girl with knife in hand lunging first at one girl and then another before she was shot by an officer. Now, although there was some initial outcry from neighborhood folks as well as members of Mothers of Murdered Columbus Children, by all accounts, the officer, as acknowledged and allowed under law, was protecting either himself or another person with deadly force. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out, that's for sure. Let's hope the city of Columbus isn't gullible enough to cough up $27 million. Look, this is obviously tragic. It most likely was unavoidable, but it was necessary to protect others as well. Still, some victimization phrases have already been dropped. I've heard the phrases foster home, fight with others at the home. That was from the knife wielder's aunt. Now, she didn't appear to be making excuses, but bet if you're a betting person, bet some serious cash on a victim card being played here at some point. It's going to come up somehow that this was a victim. She was not some knife wielder who lunged at not one but two girls, but she's a victim. If she's living in a foster home and her aunt is speaking out, what does that tell you? Tells you that even the aunt couldn't have custody of her. And trust me, I know the foster system. I've known people that have fostered children. If there's any chance that the children can be retained in family, that's what they do. I don't want to say foster system is a last resort, but in a way, it's a last resort. No, we have friends, remember? Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's going to be played. We're going to hear that, you know, she was a victim of something. But there's no $27 million to be made here, folks. There better not be. Of course, I spoke too soon on the no riots thing after the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. Folks in Portland rioted, smashed windows, and attacked businesses yesterday evening. Yay! Keeping up appearances. An Antifa symbol was spray-painted on one of the businesses, while other buildings, the recipient of such erudite scrawlings of cops kill and stolen land. The crowd went on to start a dumpster fire near the Justice Center. And then a person clad in all black punched a police sergeant in the face. Yeah, evidently the group or the groups had passed out flyers noting that justice for George Floyd was achieved, but others still needed to be avenged. God, what a dump. I mean, only in a crap hole like Portland, Oregon, will you see people rioting after a guilty verdict in a case like this. Good Lord, I've never been. Ooh, welcome Vito. Vito's already getting on LaJuan James. Yeah. Oh, evidently LaJuan tweeted a picture of the cop saying, "You're next," and then he deleted it. Yeah, LaJuan, as Vito points out, LaJuan's a racist pig. I'm going to talk about LaJuan later, by the way. I sure am. Okay. Despite employees petitioning to stop it, Simon & Schuster is going ahead with a memoir by Vice President Mike Pence. Get this from the petition. This is by choosing to publish Mike Pence, Simon & Schuster is generating for a central figure of a presidency, is generating wealth for a central figure of a presidency that unequivocally advocated for racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, anti-blackness, xenophobia, misogyny, ableism, Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, and violence. This is not a difference of opinions. This is legitimizing bigotry. End quote. Man, I have no answer on that one. Seriously, I am dumbfounded. I am amazed. Part of me is laughing like crazy. I'm left with a very disturbing thought. Some people will never be happy. They'll search for any excuse to denigrate people that they don't agree with or like. They'll do anything to harm people who don't think like them. Yeah, I mean, Simon and Schuster, welcome to this century's version of the KKK. I mean, seriously, they actually, a presidency that generated, that unequivocally advocated for racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, anti-blackness, xenophobia, misogyny, ableism, Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, and violence. That's 11 things. It's a wonder the country was doing so well before COVID. I mean, God, to hear these people tell it. Oh, wait, yeah. Unbelievable. How do you remember this trace and deliver it? Sorry, a petition. How do you do that? I don't know. Okay, we're going to get to sports news. This is what Mike was talking about. The Hawks lost Jack Nudgey to the portal, transfer portal, a couple weeks ago. And it's bitten the Hawkeyes again, this time head coach Fran McCaffrey. It appears to have been blindsided by guard C.J. Frederick's decision to enter the portal. Now, Fran McCaffrey and C.J. Frederick's uncle have a bit of history. McCaffrey was an assistant at Notre Dame and coached the uncle, Uncle Joe, while he was there. Suffice it to say, Hawkeye Nation itself is pretty split. Some are decrying McCaffrey's apparent lack of control or nepotism for playing his kids or being a bad recruiter who can't coach defense. Others say Frederick was injury-prone, which he was. He couldn't create his own shot. He was really the beneficiary of having Luka Garza, Joe Wieskamp, and Jordan Bohannon. By the way, Joe Wieskamp has admitted his name to the NBA draft, but he's retaining his eligibility in the event he isn't drafted or finds no favorable pro gig. Anyway, so, look, this isn't unique to Iowa. It's a transfer portal. What do we make of it? Look, it's probably not bad to allow one free transfer for a player. You know, things happen. Coaches leave. Coaches get fired. They recruit over you. Position coaches leave. Or the assistants that recruited you, even if they're not your position coaches, they leave. They get fired. They move on. You know, maybe the school and the surroundings aren't what you thought they would be. And we're going to see that in this recruiting cycle or the next couple, because there's been very little, if any, on-campus recruit visits. So you're going to see that. You're going to see kids that thought, man, Tuscaloosa was the place for me, and then they get there and they find out it's not. College Station, that's where I want to be. They find out they don't. Man, I can't wait to make it to Seattle and play for the Huskies of Washington. And you get there and you find out, no, I don't. I don't like Seattle, or I don't like the university. Whatever. That's going to happen. On the other hand, we keep hearing that kids should commit to a school, not a coach or a teammate. Nevertheless, look, one free transfer is probably something that's needed to ensure that student-athletes can continue and finish their education, if nothing else. Now, what about tampering? In the case of C.J. Frederick, it has been documented that members of his family were in contact with folks at the University of Kentucky. Kentucky media types, as well as Stan Forums, have been on the subject since January or February. They've been talking about it. So, is that tampering? Sure, there are all kinds of ways to play it off. They could say, oh, no, but NCAA rules are clear. No family members may be in contact or be contacted by other schools unless or until the player is in the transfer portal. Some of those in the Hawkeye community speculate that C.J. Frederick's Twitter announcement made it look like he hadn't actually decided to enter the portal, that Fran McCaffrey, upon learning of this contact or this activity, made the decision for him. Others note, too, that one or both of McCaffrey's sons alluded to this situation being underhanded with their tweet activity. Others noted that the McCaffrey boys, as well as most of the teammates, had stopped following him on Twitter and or unfriended him on social media. Now, looking for and knowing that info in and of itself, that's pretty creepy. It just is. I'm sorry. Why are you following 18 or 20-year-olds that closely? It's just creepy. But look, there are 1,200 players, over 1,200 players in the transfer portal. This could be good for the players, but free transfers aside, this could turn out to be a bad thing for college sports. It all but fractures the idea of amateurism at the college level. It certainly doesn't make the NCAA appear to be in control at any level of any sport. Time will tell, but it could be just another tool for blue blood schools to exploit. I mean, how long before coaches are using the back channels to let an athlete know that he or she has now shown enough at Iowa that they could now make the Alabama football team or make the basketball team at North Carolina or Kentucky or whatever. Or, you know, whereas before we saw most guys make lateral moves at best. I mean, guys didn't leave other than the SEC, but guys didn't leave certain schools and then make a big leap. Most of them were lateral moves at best. Now we're seeing ripples of guys from lesser conferences and less known schools that are making it to the big time programs. I mean, how soon before a Big Ten starts performing all-out raids on the MAC, or the SEC is poaching the Sun Belt or Conference USA? The idea of a national letter of intent being meaningless beyond a year should be frightening to a lot of schools. Add in the name, image, and likeness, and suddenly small market schools are not going to be able to compete with the big city car dealerships and the ambulance-chasing law firm ads. How soon, seriously, before you start seeing kid from, I don't know, say a pretty good school, you know, or a historically good school like in Oklahoma or Nebraska, how long before that kid's playing at going to USC because he's knocking down $200,000 doing ambulance chaser ads or car dealership ads or whatever? That should be a frightening thought to some. Really should. But, you know, God forbid the idea of revenue sharing, as put forth mostly by big left types, if that becomes law, that will kill college sports at most schools. Frankly, most private schools will see their athletic departments just crumble. And there's going to be dissension within athletic departments. Do you really think a Nick Saban wants to share Alabama football money with the men's cross-country team? You think? You think the Iowa wrestling team, which is pretty much self-funding, you think they want to support two or three women's sports? You think the folks at Nebraska, those boosters, are going to continue to make fake buys of football tickets? It's a long story, but they buy up football tickets at a very reduced rate to keep their sellout streak alive. You think they're going to keep doing that if the money's going to the bowling team? Yeah, I don't think so either. Let's see. Florida Gator basketball forward Keontae Johnson is not going to enter the NBA draft. Keontae Johnson was the kid who collapsed during their game against Florida State last season. It was kind of a scary situation. Just fell face down on the floor. Although he has continued to recover, he has not gotten medical clearance to resume play, so he says it's in God's hands. Before collapsing, he was averaging 19.5 points a game. He was projected as a first-round NBA pick, which sort of explains Florida's quasi-disappointing season. They got past the first round, but they lost to Oral Roberts in the round of 32. I got to believe Keontae Johnson would have made a difference there. Meanwhile, in recruiting, the rich get richer. National runner-up Gonzaga added the number one recruit, Chet Holmgren, to their pretty much already rich class. They are now the number two ranked class. Kentucky big man Olivier Saar has announced that he is entering the NBA draft. That is not a shock. Here, a transfer portal thing. Auburn basketball has added College of Charleston guard Zepp Jasper. 2 years of eligibility remaining. Now, he was but not much his freshman year. His sophomore year, he doubled his scoring output. Suddenly, he's attractive to Auburn. You can see these guys. The kids see it, too. So suddenly they're wanting to make those moves too. And with that free transfer, you know, free transfer, there should be a reason for it beyond simply, hey, I want to get what's mine. I mean, schools invest too. Now, we can talk about state schools that are bloated and with bureaucracy, and it's our money that's paying for the freight for a lot of it. But, you know, really, it's really is it really fair to some schools? Now, look, fairness isn't the issue, but again, you know, I don't know. Mrs. Hank is signaling that I need to take a break. I'm not going to take it right this second because I'm going to finish the sports news here. ESPN hacks. I remember there was talk in soccer. I don't follow soccer, but I know there was some super league that was supposed to form, and a couple teams left and folded or whatever. But anyway, some ESPN hacks have come up with a super league in college football. Various people. Andrea Adelson, her teams in the Super League would be Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Miami, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State, Texas, and USC. No Nebraska? Now, Kyle Bonagura says there's got to be all kinds of different criteria, but he basically says no teams outside the Power Five would ever get in anyway. He has Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Missouri, for some reason, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State, Texas A&M, and Texas. Bill Connolly, on the other hand, says Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Texas, UCLA, USC. He also says you might see some desperate ones pushing Miami, Florida, Nebraska, Penn State, Tennessee, Oregon, or Washington. He put UCLA in that mix. David Hale, on the other hand, says they would have to have a couple punching bags. And so he says, welcome Nebraska and Tennessee. Interesting. He also says Notre Dame remains an independent no matter what. So basically some included some West Coast schools. Most did not. Oregon or Washington were the ones that were talked about. But yeah, super league, huh? Yeah, it's lovely. Washington outside linebacker Zion Tupuola Fatui is out 6 to 10 months with a torn Achilles. Yikes. He had 4 sacks last season. They had 4 games in their season. He had 7 sacks. He was a third team AP All-American. They also lost another one, Latu, to a medical retirement. So, yeah, Washington's had better off seasons. Going to take a quick break, and then I'll come back with some more quick college football news, and then I'm going to go into my rant. So take a break, get something to eat, get something to drink. We're going to play us a little music. And we are back on Hank Jones Poly Sports. Hey, the number to call, 319-527-6706. Hit the one if you want to talk. You can always join in the chat room. Have several folks here. Vito, the ever popular, ever wise Vito, is in the chat room, so you could get the chance to talk with him. Absolutely. Some quick college football news. Ex-Steelers wide receiver Hines Ward is joining the coaching staff at Florida Atlantic. UTEP, Texas El Paso, has been is facing sanctions over football and softball violations. Yeah, that happens a lot. It's like somebody says, when Alabama gets caught, UCF faces the punishment, so to speak. They find another school to punish. Youngstown State, they're an FCS school. They're sanctioned for violations. Joe Milton, quarterback at Michigan, has left. He is heading to Tennessee. He's been in the transfer portal since February, so they not sure what's going on there, but he'll be meeting up with Josh Heupel, former UCF coach. So that's another transfer portal movement. Oh, by the way, are you noticing that I'm not talking about Major League Baseball? That's correct. As I said before, until they pony up $100-plus million to the city of Atlanta for moving the All-Star game, I won't talk about them. So Indiana and Notre Dame looks like they're going to book a future two-game series. That would be very cool. Anything in-state helps, although I think the Big Ten's got to stop giving Notre Dame those meetings because it's helping them. But a North Texas football signee was among three people shot and killed at an apartment complex in Austin, Texas the other day. Sad. I mean, look, I know that, you know, this kind of stuff is senseless. Again, don't blame the gun, blame the culture and all that, but still sad. I mean, this kid, you know, scholarship to play college football, gone. Sad, very sad. Okay. Some poly sports. NBA viewership numbers are down. While this isn't a shock, hopefully it is a portent of things to come, my humble opinion. Look, while big media thinks they are the only alternative to information, they clearly miss the fact that people will look elsewhere when they know they aren't being told the truth. You know, all the signs were there for the NBA, the BLM logo on the floor, the slapping down of any dissenting political opinion, the bullying by guys like Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr and LaJuan James at their various press gigs, the smarmy attitude that others aren't enlightened like they are. And then when they get shown up like LaJuan, they just say, no further comment. It all adds up. And look, LaJuan, if you'll remember, said, quote, some, unquote, people aren't qualified to speak about the Hong Kong protesters. Remember when former Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey did that? Problem, of course, was that straight from high school LaJuan misjudged the fact that Daryl Morey has two master's degrees and went to schools that are a little above the grade of any place LaJuan was going to go. Look, I'm not even saying LaJuan is dumb. He's not. He's not at all. But he's terrible at masquerading as some political crusader in the face of having tons of money invested or tied up in merchandising deals in Red China, just like a lot of the NBA. He, along with the rest of the league, they misjudged the sentiment of much of their viewer and their fan base. Look, collectively, they fail to understand that people neither agree with their political viewpoints across the board, nor do they care about the politics in the first place. Look, people who have cable and invest in sports packages, they're paying to watch games. People who go to games are paying to watch games and drink beer and have overpriced hot dogs. They really don't care what Greg Popovich thinks. They tend to be put off by bullies like Greg Popovich who want to push their view on others. And if they don't agree, they're just as bad as the target of their bullying. Look, even Mark Cuban isn't that bad. Mark Cuban's at least diplomatic. Good luck, NBA, but you know, the numbers are down drastically, and I think it's gonna continue. Now, last weekend, prior to the jury verdict in the Floyd Chauvin trial, a Democrat California Congresswoman Maxine Waters visited the Twin Shitty. In addition to requesting personal security, she spent her time inciting folks to, quote, get confrontational. To Waters, to no surprise, defended herself, saying she was only in civil rights discourse. La Dopey Nostra front boss Joe Biden said, we need to, quote, hear the right verdict. Post-verdict, he urged Congress to pass a police reform bill. I'm not even sure why, because third-term in chief Barack Obama has already drawn up that executive order. You can bet on that one. North Korean spy plant Umjin Um said front boss Biden was supportive of Mad Max, and she, Umjin Um herself, was also in agreement. Speaker of the House Plastic Pelosi, meanwhile, said that what Waters did was not only admirable, but perfectly legitimate. Yeah, Pelosi, later on, in addition to almost melting right there on camera, she actually thanked George Floyd for his sacrifice for the cause. I'm not making that up, anyway, because no one could make any of this up. She actually thanked George Floyd for his sacrifice for the cause. As a little aside, Maxine Waters also broke the curfew in place, and she aided and abetted others to do the same thing and incited them. Quite naturally, several GOP Congress types were livid with all this. Hell, the trial judge in the case, as I mentioned, though he declined a motion for mistrial by the defense, he said what Waters did was reprehensible and could well be cause to overturn the whole trial on appeal. Now, GOP House members forwarded a motion for censure of Maxine Waters. Two members from each side did not vote, apparently, and the vote was strictly along party lines, 216 to 210, against the motion. But politics being politics, right? Okay, this is for all you hypocrites supported the second sham impeachment of President Donald Trump. I know you're out there. I know you hypocrites are out there. I see you on Facebook. I see you on Twitter. I see you everywhere. Specifically within the articles of impeachment were allegations that President Trump incited the Capitol riot on January 6th and continued, the hoax continued through, despite the fact that nowhere and in no way did President Trump ask for, incite, or say anything about violent protest, insurrection, or blocking election certification. At no time did he advocate for or condone violence. We know, in fact, that President Trump suggested extra police personnel, possibly even the National Guard, at the Capitol because it was apparent that turnout for the Stop the Steal rally was going to be high. And again, in spite of the facts being brought to light, the sham impeachment proceedings continued. Now, I ask the hypocrites, how many of you called your congressman or your senator and asked them to step up about this disgusting act of Maxine Waters? Look, she not only encouraged violence by virtue of her connecting it to a possible verdict of not guilty, she engaged in jury tampering at worst, or at least jury intimidation. Word has come out that jurors were doxxed. Their identities were being circulated on or in various media. We know both Twin Shitty mayors and the governor of Minnesota, had ramped up security personnel in terms of police and National Guard. So yeah, they knew what the plan was. Frankly, it's remarkable that no rioting took place in the Twin Shitty. Or maybe not. We know Pelosi herself called off extra Capitol Police on January 6th. We know she openly supported Waters, and we heard that ludicrous speech actually thanking George Floyd for his sacrifice to the civil rights cause. Yeah, so don't be surprised if some enterprising, intelligent, info-gathering person finds the memos or emails or other communications calling off any demonstrations, looting, rioting, arson, or other unrest. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if any of this had taken place, there's no way that even big media and big left successfully perpetrate and portray that what Waters did was noble or peaceful. Even big left would ignore it, but big media would not. Everyone in big media would ignore it. They couldn't see it as peaceful, while at the same time portraying what President Trump did was inciting and he was an instigator of riotous behavior. Again, why? It's simple, folks. The same people instigated, took part in the plotting, and participated in both. Yeah, Antifa and BLM and other scumbags. It doesn't really matter who. The same people that were the forces behind Twin Shitty and the U.S. Capitol. That is what they don't want us to know. Don't. They think we're stupid. They think that's just it. They think people are universally stupid. They're almost sociopathic in that regard. In that nothing exists outside of themselves. Nothing rational. And look, for the hypocrites, it's you they count on to march in lockstep with their latest incarnation of a Nazi machine. It is ultimately you, the hypocrites, that they will look to for support, for votes, and as pawns. God help you, really. Meanwhile, Alan Dershowitz had something to say on this subject. I'll give you a part. It was in the Epic Times that he was quoted, or that he was interviewed. And basically he says this: her tactics were similar to those used by the KKK. He said she was clearly trying to influence the jury. Duh. Traveling to Minnesota. He said her message was clearly intended to get to the jury. If you will acquit or if you find the charge less than murder, we will burn down your buildings. We will burn down your businesses. We will attack you. We will do what happened to the witness. Blood on their door. He said it's borrowed precisely from the Ku Klux Klan of the 1920s and 1930s, when the Klan would march outside of courthouses and threaten all kinds of reprisals if the jury ever dared convict a white person or acquit a black person. So he said to Dershowitz's mind, this should have been a mistrial. Of course, the judge wouldn't grant it because he knows he'd be responsible for the riots that would have ensued, even though it was Maxine Waters who was responsible. As pointed out, she told the crowd, this was in Brooklyn Center, just outside of the Twin Shitty, over the weekend, they should get more confrontational. She said, we're looking for a guilty verdict, and we're looking to see if all the talk that took place, it has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd. If nothing does happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice. Now, to his credit, Judge Peter Cahill said he was aware of the statement. He would not give a mistrial. He did tell the lawyer that he could submit his articles about this in the appeal process. Make no mistake, this is going to be appealed. Again, should Derek Chauvin have been convicted? I'm not saying he shouldn't have. I really don't. I can't say that he was innocent. I've seen the video. I don't want to watch it again. Here's what Maxine Waters told another publication. She says, I am nonviolent. Republicans will jump on any word, any line, and try to make it fit their message and their case for denouncing us and denying us, basically calling us violent. Now, Dershowitz thinks the case could be dismissed upon appeal. He says, I think there will be a conviction, at least on the manslaughter. The issue will go to the Court of Appeals. And will the Court of Appeals have the courage to reverse the conviction on the ground? The jury was subjected to intimidation tactics, not only by Waters, but by others as well, who threatened violence in the event of an acquittal or a lesser charge than murder. Think about that. Literally, no less than Alan Dershowitz is bringing this to light. Look, all I can really say is this. T. Bodie put it in the chat room about Civil War II. I can say this, arm yourselves. I'm not talking guns, although I am talking guns, but not just, be prepared, man. Food, water, if you have a firearm, know how to use it, but be prepared. The day we thought would never come, in our lifetime. It's coming. Now, it may be this year, or it might be after the 2022 or 2024 elections, but make no mistake, it's coming. Big Left is counting on average, everyday Americans either complying willfully or submitting out of fear or fatigue. Look, if you love this country, don't comply. Don't submit to anything that goes against the principles on which founded. Don't submit to anything that our founders sacrificed and generations after that have sacrificed out of their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Don't go against that. It sounds trite and all that stuff, but for too long, many of us have stood by or sat by and expected that someone else would get it done. Some GOP congressman or senator would have what it took, would have the guts. We know now, don't we? We know quite simply that these people aren't going to come through. Why? Because they're too comfortable. They're too comfortable in their own skin, so to speak. Make no mistake, though. The day will come, and we will, I don't know any other way to say it other than be vigilant, be aware, because that time is coming. I think, it's very close to being here. So, hey, folks, let's remember a couple things. No Laffy today because, frankly, there's not much to laugh about. But remember, there were 10 GOP House members who voted to proceed with impeachment. David Valadao of California, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Pete Meyer and Fred Upton of Michigan, Toe of New York, Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio, Tom Rice of South Carolina, Jamie Herrera-Butler and Dan Newhouse of Washington, and Liz Cheney of Wyoming. Well, there are also 11 GOP members who voted to strip committee assignment from Marjorie Taylor Greene, Young Kim of California, Mario Diaz-Balart, Carlos Jimenez, and Maria Elvira Salazar of Florida, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Fred Upton of Michigan, Chris Smith of New Jersey, Jacobs, John Katko, and Nicole Maliotakis of New York, and Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania. And then there are the 7 senators who voted for conviction in the second impeachment hoax. Richard Burr of North Carolina, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mittens Romney of Utah, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. Remember those things. If you live in those states, and the person and one any of those people I mentioned are running for re-election, be vocal. Be vocal with your friends. Be vocal if you go to a town hall. Be vocal if you call in on radio shows. Be vocal on Facebook. Unless and until we hold our own people accountable, unless and until we do that, it's pretty hard to hold Democrats accountable. Can't hold your own people accountable, and I hate to say your own people, but if you can't hold the people that you voted for or that you support, if you can't hold them accountable, if you can't hold Adam Kinzinger accountable, why are you trying to hold Maxine Waters accountable? That's all I'm saying. It starts at home. If you didn't vote for the person that represents you, absolutely speak up. Don't do it like the left does. Don't do it over everything. But stand on principle. And darn it, make sure they stand on principle. That's what holding them accountable is about. There's one piece of good news. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a new anti-riot law that protects – one of the things it does, it protects motorists who hit or kill rioters while fleeing for safety. Now, some people laugh about this, but think about this. It's one of the things they do. They band together. They stand in on roadways. They try to block people from having access, or they just attack them. Well, guess what? No longer. You're not, let's put it this way, you're not culpable. If some moron is standing in front of you with a defund the police sign or whatever, try to get away, you're not liable. At least there's one good governor out there that's got it together, that's for sure. Okay, folks, I've had fun. I've had a good time and all that stuff, and hopefully I've given you some food for thought. But get ready to head out. This is Hank, and I have some stuff to do, as usual. You know, every Wednesday it's a good time to do it. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've taken some of this, any part of it, and understand what it is we're dealing with. And again, it's not just Democrats. It's not just big left. We're dealing with people that are supposedly conservatives that are not living by conservative ideals. I want to thank Bigfoot and Indie Hawk KB and T. Bodie and Vito for listening in the chat room. Several people on the phones. Sue from New Mexico. Brother Tommy was here. T. Bodie's on the phones too. Big Sister's here. Hawkeye Mike for his call. I think he's dropped. I'm not sure if he tried to get back in or not, but in any case, thanks for the interest. Thanks for the support. And as we go out, let's remember, it's up to us. We cannot depend on the people we vote for. We cannot depend on the people who are paid to be comfortable. We simply cannot. Folks, have a good night. Have a good week and a good weekend. Be safe. Be prepared. And be well, and hey, have a good night. Good night, all. Let's send you off with a good one tonight. Let's send you off with a good one. Oh, it's a good song. Oh, here we go. We'll send you off with this one.